Well, good evening, everyone.
Time to start a worship service. If it's convenient for you, I'm going to ask you stand. We sing an old one called I'll Fly Away. Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. From prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then the mighty host, I'll stand. Here we go. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land. And I long to be by the Savior's side, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, there happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. I am on my way to those mansions fair, just over in the glory land, God's praise and His glory share, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. What a joyful thought that my Lord I'll see, just over in the glory land. And with kindred saved there forever be, just over in the glory land. Just over in the glory land, I'll join the happy angel band, just over in the glory land, just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. On the blood-washed song I will shout and sing, just over in the glory land. Glad hosannas to Christ the Lord and King, just over in the glory land. just over in the glory land, there with the mighty host I'll stand, just over in the glory land. Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. The song's called God of Wonders. Lord of all creation, of the water, earth, and sky, the heavens are your tabernacle, the glory to the Lord on high, a God of wonders beyond our galaxy. You are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. And you are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth. Lord of heaven and earth. And when I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name by night, God of wonders beyond our galaxy. Yeah, you are holy. The universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. God of wonders beyond our galaxy, you are holy. Holy, the universe declares your majesty, and you are holy, holy, precious Lord, reveal your heart to me, Father, hold me, hold. Majesty, and you are holy, 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 holy. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord heaven and earth. Hallelujah to the Lord of heaven and earth. Be seated, please.
worship time together. We're going to get to have a baptism service next Sunday, first time we've got to do that in a little while. Stir the water, and that'll be great. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke 24. And let's start reading with verse 13. Let's stand together. We give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, and what a great privilege it is for you and I to be able to hold that word in our hand. Think about all the people all over the world that are not able to do that, not able to meet like we are here tonight, but without some kind of fear or resistance, and you and I are able to meet and come together and worship and sing praises to the Lord. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. There's some discussion about how far that is. Some say it's not very far, others say it's somewhere between 5 and 10 miles, and so there's a little bit of discrepancy about how far that is, but it's far enough for them to have a good conversation. I do believe it's farther than a half a mile. That's what some folks seem to think. I believe it was several miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass, which has come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and having crucified him. But when trusting that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set at meat with him, he took bread, and he blessed it, and brake, and gave them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. You may be seated. This has always been a fascinating story to me. And I said something this morning about I wasn't sure that I would have wanted to have been at the tomb the morning that he rose from the dead. But I think I would have liked to have walked with these disciples as Jesus opened the scripture to them. And I think that one thing that you and I fail to realize, he tells us in his word, where two or three of us are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of us, that whenever we open God's word, he is there. His Holy Spirit is in us to help us digest the word, to help us translate the word, to teach us what the word of God says. And as Jesus' power overshadowed these, as he preached to them out of Scripture, they understood the Scripture. It became clear to them that he had risen from the dead. And one other thing that I noticed about this passage, that the distance that they traveled, and it was getting night, and it was a custom to be hospitable in those days to invite folks to spend the night. You couldn't go down to the Super 8 and get a room. Folks would invite you to stay the night with them. The psalmist spoke of that in the 23rd Psalm when he talked about the Lord being his shepherd. He said that he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runs over. A lot of times we just read that casually. We wouldn't think about the fact that the cup was running over. What the emphasis is there, what the Lord is teaching through his word, is that when you were a guest at someone's table, the host would decide whether or not you were going to be welcome to spend the night or not. And when he poured you that final cup of wine, if he didn't fill the cup all the way up, you understood that he didn't have room for you. You'd need to go ahead and find some other place to stay. But if the cup ran over, the host was saying, I'm enjoying your company. We'd like for you to stay. That's the reason that the Lord was, in his word, was able to say, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever, my cup runs over. And so they had come to that place that they had invited Jesus to spend the night. But as they broke bread together and as they drank wine, he vanished out of their sight. Now, they had just made the trip, but when God is working in our lives, those journeys that would seem to be hard become easy, and they walk back. they didn't say, let's rest, let's spend the night, and then we'll go back. No, they went back that night, and it was further concluded to them that the Lord had risen from the dead. Number one, the gloom of the hour become because they did not believe the report of the women. I don't know if the Lord obviously has, he made a special date with them to be able to convince them that he had risen from the dead. He met his disciples by the seaside and prepared breakfast for them to be totally convinced that he had risen from the dead. And he has this meeting with Peter, where Peter comes to that place that he understands that he's not condemned. He's forgiven by the Lord because of his actions by the fire of the enemy. And so these two come to that place. In verse 25 and verse 26, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Two words, everything and necessary. The prophets declared this, that Jesus was going to rise again. They knew the Old Testament. They knew that this was that Jesus was going to rise again. And here Jesus said the death, the burial, and the resurrection, all those things were necessary to buy our eternity. I want you to notice something in verse 28. Jesus has a way to draw us to the place where he wants us to be, to draw us into Scripture, to open the Word of God to us in the place that he wants us to understand, to bring us to the place that he wants us to be able to. Maybe he has someone he wants us to talk to, and so he draws us to that place, and sometimes we would think, well, this is just a coincidence. This place or this meeting is just a coincidence. But God has us at a certain place, at a certain time, in order to share his word with the individual that he has placed in our path in order to do that. I can think of several situations in my own life where God used that. I visited with a woman that had lost a child, and she was a non-believer, and she said there was not a God. And as we sat and talked, I said, if you'll give me 10 minutes of your time, I'll prove to you that there's a God. And then in the back of my mind, I said, God, please help me prove to this woman that there is a God. And I chose the Roman road to share with her. And as I went through the Roman road, and as I read the scripture, you know, the Bible says of itself that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and intentions of men's hearts. And so I read the scripture through the Roman road. And when I came to verse 13 of Romans, the 10th chapter, I said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I said, the scripture teaches me that right now God is drawing you to himself. And big tears began to roll down her cheeks, and I said, that's how I can know, and that's how you can know there really is a God. I think it was last week that Mike and I went and picked up my stock trailer up at the wrecker company, and there was a young man there that drove the wrecker that picked up my wrecks, was helping us with the trailer, and we gotten it hooked up to the other truck, and I was wearing one of the shirts that Gwen had inscribed OBC above the pocket, and he asked me where I pastored at. And I said, Osage Baptist Church. And he said, oh, yeah. And I said, have you been there? No. He said, I haven't. But he said, I'm looking for a place. and I thought first, coincidence, but God is in the business of drawing us to the place where he wants us to be. And so we witnessed to him there. He said he was a Christian already, that he had trusted Christ, and he told us where he had been going, but that he was looking for a place to go, and we invited him to Osage. In verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. Now look at this. And he made as though he would have gone further. Did you see that? He made as though he would have gone further. He pitched the ball back into their court. He gave them, he pitched it back to them for them to make the decision. And I believe that that's how he does with us. I think he draws us, and then I think he pitches the ball into our court so that we will do what he's wanting us to do. He's pulling us, the Bible says, with cords of love. And so as he pulls us with those cords of love, these men said, you stay with us, have supper with us. There's this great drawing of the Spirit. When you and I have the opportunity to share a seed, to share a word with someone else, it's not all us. I don't want to say all of, I don't know if it's any of us or not, but it's certainly not all our. It's not, if we share the word, we've done what we're supposed to do. And then we need to allow the Spirit to do what the Spirit does. And to draw that individual, I feel like that sometimes that folks go too far when they talk to people about Jesus. Now, I would get a lot of static on this, and maybe you feel differently. That's all right. But I think that you can get a decision out of an individual that's not real. Because you do not give the Spirit the liberty to draw that person and to do that work in that individual's heart. I think that we need to be real cautious about that. I'm very cautious in dealing with children that the decision is their decision and not my decision. And I try to make sure of that when I deal with them, that I've already made this decision. I'm not needing to make it. And if it's not you, let's wait until it is right. And then finally, in verse 32, they talked about what happened when Jesus opened the Word to them. I think that there is a need in our own lives as Christians to dive deep into the Word to find out what the Word is saying to us individually. One of the things that I was taught was that when you dissect a passage of Scripture, you think about what did it say to the people, a letter, for instance, that Paul was writing to the Corinth church. What did it mean to those people in the age in which they live? And what does it mean in the generation in which we live right now? But more importantly, what does it mean to me personally? I've been reading the Proverbs for several years, and I have noticed that how many times things that are going on in my life that those Proverbs has an answer to that. It answers the question that I have about what should I do about this or how should this go, that the Proverbs has the Word of God has an answer to that. When does the opening of the Scripture cause our hearts to burn within us? When Jesus ministers the Scripture to our heart. I'll close with this, but I think that there's a lot of people that have never experienced that. They've never dug deep enough in the well in order for that to happen to them. That God is really speaking to their heart. I listen to lots of preaching, and I don't go to as many preaching conferences as I did at one time, but through the years I've gone to a lot. And something that I've noticed about state conventions and national convention, the evangelism conferences in different places that I have attended, and I've heard lots of great preachers through the years preach some great sermons. And many times I've noticed, and I usually take notes, I usually have something that I can write on, and I usually take notes. And something that I've noticed that God is dealing with my heart in such a way it doesn't have anything to do with what the speaker's saying. And you say, well, you ought to pay a little closer attention. But usually God is speaking to me something that is going on in my own life personally or something that's going on in the church that doesn't really have anything to do with the conference at the time or what the mood of the conference is. But I know that the Lord has spoke to me through His Word, through looking at His Word and through listening to the preaching. But some way it's the point that God was making in my heart wasn't the same point that the speaker was making from that passage of Scripture. And I don't mean this to sound like a brag, but I have had my heart to burn within me when I was hearing the Word of God opened to me. I've been able to hear Vance Havner in person and Billy Graham in person. And Adrian Rogers, and I could go on lots of good, solid preaching. David Jeremiah and Chuck Swindoll and Tony Evans. And some of those guys, the Lord's given me opportunity to be able to hear them. What's the guy's name at the Brooklyn Tabernacle? But we were able to hear him once in person. But when we come to a time of worship and preaching, allow God to speak to you. I've noticed that the worship songs speak to me more now than they have in the past, especially when it talks about going to glory. Did you notice that we sang tonight about flying away? Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. God has, the only way that we can have confidence in that is through the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Let's stand together. I'm going to ask Larry Bashford if he would dismiss us with a word of prayer.